Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
I found a little research online which informed me that a person opens his or her mouth on average 700 times a day. And in those 700 times, a person speaks on average 18,000 words, which would be the written equivalent of 54 typed pages. And if you feel that perhaps you are softer spoken or a little bit more reserved and introverted, take courage and heart in the knowledge that there are those of us who enjoy being above average. Somebody's got to pull that average up, right? Especially here in Vermont, where folks can be so short spoken, there are those of us who have the gift of gab as well. With all of that, with 54 pages full of words a day, on average, so some people speak even more and some people speak less, with all of those words, with all of that content, what we say matters. I had a conversation this week about the power of words and their meanings, and how a single word, if we can really understand the depth and the purpose behind it, our whole understanding of the conversation or of what we're reading can be transformed by the power of the word and its meaning. And in a theological context, we are a people of the word. We read the Bible, we read scripture, we read words, but we believe in Christ as the Word of God incarnate. And we believe that in some sense, in some way of understanding how things came to be, that it is God's speaking, God's word, that brings forth all that is creative and is powerful in itself, just the word, the spoken word, word as an action that creates more action, that creates more content, that creates life itself. But it's not just God's word that matters or God's speaking that matters. It's our words, too. Our words matter when we think about, Bartlett's book of famous quotations, right? Just a gathering of words, many of which, we might have these little proverbial phrases that we toss out, but some words and speeches and ideas that have changed the world. I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. Words that live in people's hearts, words that transform the way we look at the world around us, words that create meaning and purpose in our lives and in the life of the world. Or consider the words that we're going to hear for the next few months at least on all sides of political campaigns and debates, right? The power of words to try to convey, to try to convince a particular worldview, a particular way forward, a particular vision for our country, for our world, and how the slip of a tongue, one false word, or a couple of false words can be disastrous in such a context, in the midst of a debate or in the midst of a public appearance. A simple word, a single word or phrase or idea that is communicated can be very hard to escape if someone wants to try to take those words back once they are out. In the Hebrew Bible, I learned that words are compared to arrows, right? Words, we understand that they can be powerful, that they can be painful, but they're not powerful or painful like a weapon that you would hold in your hand where you might come up close upon one's enemy and decide at the last moment not to strike. An arrow, once it's loosed from the bow, can't be taken back. We can't get our words back after we've spoken them, and if they are hurtful or if they are not what we intended to say, then they can do tremendous damage. I'm sure that everyone in this room can remember a time in your life when someone spoke a hurtful word, a negative word to you, or about you, or you found out about something, or heard that people were gossiping or talking about you behind your back. The power of words, particularly of those negative words, the pain that can be caused, is profound. Our words have power. Now, I don't know who said what to or about the author of the letter, James. But he is deeply hurt by the words, by the action of the tongue that he has experienced, that he has seen in the Christian community that he's trying to speak to. This early church community, he is witnessing that they are using the gift of speech in a way that is hurtful. And so he's reminding and cautioning them that even though we all make mistakes, and that's to be expected, the mistakes that we make when we are speaking, the mistakes that we can make with our words are potent and huge. And even though it seems small, the tongue seems like such a small part of the body, and so he compares it to the bit in a horse's mouth or to the rudder on a ship, something so small that can change the course of where things are going, that can change the direction, that can change our understanding of what's happening. What we say may seem small, but it is so important. It can be so revealing of what's inside us. And remember, the author of this letter is very concerned about sort of the authenticity of faith. He doesn't like to see people who are saying one thing and doing another, who are presenting themselves as religious and faithful and keeping to the tenets of their newfound faith, but are not embodying it, are not living it out in witness. And so sometimes what is spoken, especially off the cuff, especially quickly, reveals that inner heart, that inner purpose, or changes or shifts the conversation in a way we may not have intended. What this letter's author seems to have witnessed is people cursing one another. It's interesting to me that we do know parts in the Bible where people speak of cursing God, that's something that people did do on occasion. But the author of this letter speaks of praising God, but cursing those made in God's likeness, cursing one another. Praising God, giving thanks to God, behaving toward God as a person of faith, of gentleness, of hope, of love, and then speaking ill of one another. Again, this sense that what is hidden inside, or what is truly carried in the heart, is revealed in these little moments, in these little pieces, and that the authenticity is lacking. The authenticity is lacking if we put forward great words toward God, but we harbor in our hearts and we reveal in our speech anger and resentment and bitterness toward one another. Now, I do disagree, however, with the letter's author, who puts forth these examples about a spring, about a tree, about a well, and says, a spring can't put forth both clean and dirty water. A tree can't bear two different kinds of fruits. Obviously, this is not a time when people were practicing grafting as an agricultural practice. A well can't contain both fresh and salty water. By and large, these things are true, leaving aside the grafting image. By and large, these things are true, but we are far more complex than springs and trees and wells. The human heart, the human psyche, the human mind and spirit is much more complex, and we do have this ability to bless and to curse. We do have within us love and hatred. We do have within us joy and sorrow. We do have within us kindness and cruelty. And so, unlike a spring, we can put forth clean or dirty water. We can bear different kinds of fruit. We can yield fresh or salty water, that which quenches thirst, or that which would make a person more thirsty. Because we are far more complex. Which means that with our 18,000 words a day, our 700 opportunities for utterance, our 54 pages worth of text, that that we have choices to make, because we can choose our words just as we choose our actions. We can choose, we can control, as the author says, our tongues, or try to. He says, you know, there are all kinds of wild animals we can figure out how to tame, but taming one's tongue, watching one's tongue, I don't mean like this, trying to stick it out and look at it, but watching one's tongue, taming one's tongue, controlling one's words. We have a choice, albeit a difficult one. But if we have a choice, then it is not without hope. It is not a given that we would praise God but curse those made in God's image. We can praise God and we can lift up those made in God's image. I know we all remember times when cruel words were spoken to us or about us, but I also bet that everyone in this room can remember a time when a single word of kindness made all the difference in the world, in your day, in your life, in the moment of need. When a single word or action or choice on another person's part to live with that little bit of extra kindness, that little bit of extra grace, was transformative. There's a choice that's made in that moment. There was a choice that person makes. There was a choice that we make to speak and to act out of the place of love within us. Because yes, unlike trees and springs and wells, we are complex creatures. And we can bring forth blessing and curse. The very ending of Psalm 19 reads as a prayer that oftentimes those who are about to preach or to share or to teach recite just the last verse as a prayer, as a way of entering that space. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart or our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. We have a choice and we have a prayer. We have a goal to strive after, that our words might reflect the meditations of our hearts and that the meditations of our hearts might be not only acceptable, but might give praise and honor and kindness not only to God, but to those created in God's image. May the meditations of our hearts, and may our words, as close to all 18,000 of them today as possible, be acceptable to you, O God. Amen.